www.bethlehemchurch.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And here we go on a Tuesday in beautiful Brevard County. I pray that the joy of the Lord is residing in your heart and that you are pressing on in your relationship with Him. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island. And we're going to spend a few minutes here today talking about Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And before we get into that, I want to take just a moment to invite you out to our 70th anniversary service. Now, I'm not 70, so don't get the idea that I'm the founding pastor. I'm not. Don't think that I've been there for all of the anniversaries. I haven't. I haven't even been in Florida that long. We moved here in the late 80s, and by that I mean the really late 80s. We've spent, in December will be 30 years at Merritt Assembly of God, watching the faithfulness of God be poured out upon Merritt Assembly of God for the last 30 years. And I know that He had to do that before I got there, because if not, the church wouldn't be there. And so I can tell you this. There are a lot of things in ministry that are very, very difficult. And I will just tell you this. Someone put it this way one time. Having a baby is a lot easier than resurrecting someone. And what we've done at Merritt Assembly of God is, it's called church revitalization. A lot of people have planted churches, and they've gone on to be very, very healthy, very successful churches. Some church plants have come and gone. But what we do is known as church revitalization. And so when I was at my very first youth pastor position, God had given me a word about what my calling in life was. My calling was to restore value to those things which had been cast aside. And so every place that we've ever been has been about that. We did that with a house. We've done that with youth groups. We've done that with Merritt Assembly of God. Even the house that we live in now, at one point in time, it had been on the market for a long, long time, and nobody wanted it. I mean, it was a fixer-upper. The buildings at Merritt Assembly of God were a fixer-upper, and the church was. But God has been very, very faithful. And so this is me inviting you to come celebrate with us Saturday morning at 10:30. We have a special guest speaker that is with us. His name is Malcolm Burleigh, and he is the United States Home Missions Director. And we have known Malcolm for the entire length of time that we've been married. The first time I ever met him was at my wedding. and I might have crossed paths with him before then, but not frequently. Not to the point that I could say, yeah, I knew him before that. But he opened the church the day that my wife and I got married. And God has really blessed his ministry. He oversees ministry in inner cities, reservations. He travels internationally. He and his wife Maria are just fantastic people. They are blessed and highly favored, and we encourage you to come out so we can celebrate what God has done. We have a special gift that we are unveiling on Sunday. And that is, for everybody who comes, we have a gift, and we ain't telling what it is until you get there. So, but it would be a constant reminder to you, to not only for us to pray for you, but also for you to pray for us. Let's get into the Word of God. Let's dive in, okay? Verse number 24 of Luke chapter 4 says, "Then he, Jesus, said, Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country, but I tell you, truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." So we've spent the last couple of days talking about, the last couple of broadcasts anyway, talking about this widow in Zarephath who was commanded by God to take care of Elijah's food needs, and then God provided for her food needs, and then there was also a miracle, a subsequent miracle for this lady where her son lived after he had contracted an illness and had died. God raised him up from the dead. So don't forget that. Now we're gonna follow what Jesus says here. We're going to look at Elijah's successor, and Elijah's successor was a person by the name of Elisha. And if you ever preach about Elijah and Elisha, you're probably going to do like I have on many occasions, and you'll get your tongue tangled and call one the other and the other one and stuff like that. And just understand that if that ever happens to you, you're not the first that's ever happened to. You won't be the last. So let's look at what happened with Elisha and the miracle that took place in his life. And so we're going to look in 2 Kings. We've been in 1 Kings. Now we're going to look in 2 Kings chapter 5, and we're going to be talking about a person who wasn't a widow, but we're going to be talking about a person who was an enemy commander of the army, who had invaded Israel, had been victorious in that invasion, and he goes back to Syria. So let's look at 2 Kings chapter 5. It says, "Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, 'If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.'" She's talking about Elisha. "And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, 'Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel.' Then the king of Syria said, 'Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver." Now a talent was 75 pounds, so there's 10 there. 750 pounds of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and I don't have any way of communicating, you know, how much money that is, but it sounds like it's a lot, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy.' And it happened, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me.' So it was, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant." But he said, "As the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive nothing." But he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, "Then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. Yet in this thing, may the Lord pardon your servant when my master goes into the temple of Ramon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Ramon. When I bow down in the temple of Ramon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing." Then he said to him, "Go in peace." So he departed from him a short distance. So let's look at some of the distinctions between the two rather than some of the similarities. A lot of times we want to look at the similarities. The first thing that I want to point out to you is that Naaman is a very powerful and influential person that is a recipient of the miracle that we read about in Luke chapter 4. And the woman would have been someone that was not deemed all that significant, all that important to her society, but she was extremely valuable to God. I want you to know that Naaman was not valuable to God because he was a commander of the army. He wasn't valuable to God because he was a mighty man of valor. He was actually a person who had brought harm to Israel. So let me just tell you this. Your past is not preventative from God doing something miraculous and supernatural in your life. The second thing that I want to point out to you is that where the Elijah had been commanded to go to where the widow was, in this situation, Naaman is told of the prophet in Israel by one of my favorite little girls in the scripture, who refused to allow bitterness to rule her life. And I'm sure that her life had been radically transformed in a very negative way. War is horrific. War is painful. War brings about tremendous loss of life. And yet this lady finds herself in a strange land. This young girl finds herself in a strange nation, ministering to a woman that is not her mother and longing for that lady's husband to experience a supernatural healing. Okay? So when Naaman finds out about it, he goes to his king and says, would you send me here? Because I hear that there's a person that could do a miracle in my life. I will be more valuable to you healed than I am compromised. So one is a person with a very low social profile. One has a very high social profile. The second distinction that we see is the prophet went to the woman in a foreign country. This time in Naaman's situation, the person from the foreign country comes to Israel and eventually gets dispatched to the prophet's house. The third situation that I could point to you is that there is a one-on-one conversation between Elijah the prophet and the woman, but when Naaman shows up at Elisha's house, there is no direct communication initially between Elisha and the messenger. Here's what I would like you to see is that God is no respecter of persons. God is able to heal people across every strata of society. You know, basically, these are two miracles that are, or two accounts of miracles. There were many miracles for the woman. There were two miracles for the woman, one here for Naaman. And in both of those situations, they were for people that were not part of God's chosen people. They are people from what they would consider heathen nations. They were Gentiles. How great is God's love? So, but there were threats. There were some similarities, in that there were threats that were about to prevent the miracle from taking place. For one, for the woman, it was the hopelessness of her situation, the lack of natural supply. And for Naaman, it wasn't that his medical condition was hopeless. For him, it was his pride. It was his arrogance. It was his arrogance because Elisha doesn't come out to meet him. Elisha sends a messenger. And he goes and he tells him, you're going to have to do something. Now, I do believe this, that many times there are the ifs of Scripture that I talk about. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. A lot of times we have to go back and meticulously look at the Word of God to see what the if is, because the if has to do with what our responsibility is, what our act of obedience is. So where the woman had to make the cake for Elijah first, in Naaman's case, Elisha sends a messenger that says, go dip yourself, go wash yourself in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. And it says that Naaman became furious. Okay? He was enraged. He was not happy. He said, look, he did not consider Israel the promised land. He considered it an inferior land. He considered his rivers to be far superior than to the Jordan River. But I can tell you, I can find a lot of wonderful things that happened at the Jordan. Excuse me. But I didn't even know these other rivers existed as far as a miracle goes. And so he said, why couldn't I go there? Can I tell you this? You can't negotiate with God. You're not going to be able to negotiate better terms. God is God. And he knows you, he knows me, better than we know ourselves. And so for this man, his pride and his anger almost prevented a miracle from taking place in his life. He could have been one more leper that died a painful and miserable death that no one ever knew about, except for he had some people in his life, some people that are identified here strictly as his servants. They may have been to him what that little girl from Israel was to his wife. They may have been people who had been conquered in battle by him and carried off and says, you know, I think you'll make me a good servant. They may have been people who were assigned to serve him by the king, but these people were very concerned that their master, this commander of the army, would experience a miraculous healing, and they spoke to him. Well, you know, where it says he was furious, he was in a rage. In verse number 12, and his servants came and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? Can I tell you that I think it is very important for us to allow God to define great? I think it's important to him because we tend to define the terms of greatness differently than what God does. We had a guest speaker for Mother's Day, and one of the points that she made was that she preached on Deborah, and that you know, there were amazing things, but amazing things in the kingdom of God may look differently. Amazing things may be a mother who didn't grow up in a godly home, who gives her heart to God and raises her children in a godly home. That can be amazing. By the way, I can think of a person right now that grew up in an ungodly home, became a Christian, and has done a marvelous job creating a godly home. What is going to be the kingdom impact of her and her kids? I have no idea, but that's amazing as far as I'm concerned. So because Naaman did not consider dipping in the river to be something a commander of the army would do, he almost missed his miracle, but he had people around his life who encouraged him at that very pivotal, important moment in his miracle process that says, just obey what God has said for you to do. Okay? And so how much more than when he says to you, wash and be clean? So they convinced him. He went down. He dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a clean or of a little child, and he was clean. Okay? So praise God for that. That means that the leprosy was no longer consuming him physically. Leprosy was a very destructive illness. And so in Israel, when a person had leprosy, they had to go around isolated from their family, and they had to go around saying, unclean, unclean. They had to be warning everybody around them because, first of all, leprosy was very contagious as well. And so they had to warn somebody, look, I'm unclean. But it was a constant reminder to them about their their own horrible status in life. It affected them spiritually. It impacted them physically. It impacted them relationally. And God dealt with all of that in Naaman's life. Let me just tell you the end of the story, and that is this, that Naaman, like the woman, ended up with a realization that there is no God in all the earth except Israel. You see, a lot of times we think our miracle is about the miraculous provision. You know, we've had people that provided groceries and supplies for us, and we didn't know anything at all about it. They were just blessing us, and we were blessed. Sometimes they think it's about that. Sometimes they think it's about the healing. Sometimes it's about other reasons. But let me tell you that the purpose for everything that God does is that he is revealing himself as God in such a manner that people will know that he is God. That Elijah was just beginning his ministry, and he was sent to the woman, and it's like, wow, this is a pretty interesting way to start a ministry. And the woman comes back and says, I know you're a man of God. I know that God is telling the truth. Naaman just looked at it as another group of people to conquer, and now he's there, and he comes away whole, restored, and with a greater understanding of who the one true God was than he had ever had before. Can you imagine Naaman on his return trip? Can you imagine how his wife and his family were going to feel? But can you also imagine this? How about that little girl that nobody knows her name? And she said, I knew God could take care of that situation. I pray today that you'll believe not only for your miracle, but that you'll believe for miracles for those around you. We'll see you next time right here on the Refresh Radio program. God bless you and have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.